It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time and at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on blogtalkradio.com, that's D-L-O-G, talkradio.com, and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, March the 26th, and we are back live from beautiful Austin, Texas. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this program, is here to make the show run. And we have a great show this evening. It's a musical evening in honor of South by Southwest, the music festival here in Austin. Our first guest is both a musician and a psychologist. Dr. Michael De Maria is an integrative psychologist, author, poet, speaker, and four-time Grammy-nominated record artist, and a contributing poet, composer on the Grammy-winning children's album, All About Bullies, Big and Small. Michael is a longtime yoga meditation teacher and the author and creator of the Peace Within Process for Integrative Wellness. He'll be joining us this evening once again from Florida to talk about his latest book, Peace Within. Clear your mind, open your heart, embrace your soul, and heal your life, and about finding peace within. So I think we could all use a little bit of that these days. And as I mentioned, with South by Southwest being in town, we have three musicians on the program, including Dr. De Maria. The second musician will be our friend and violinist, Johnny Arco, who will be talking about his latest projects and tell us where he's playing while he's here in Austin from New York City, visiting here in Austin this week. And we'll be playing some of his music. And then jazz flutist Jan Leader, founder of Music Wellness, will join us once again from New York, and we'll be playing some of her original music. And I will talk a little bit about the benefits of kindness and generosity. We could all use a little bit more of that these days. And throughout this evening's program, we have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. My email address is Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And my Twitter address is M-A-R-A-E-K. You can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com. And the link to the podcast, along with any website links and important information that my guests talk about on the program, that will all be posted later tonight or early tomorrow morning. And you can hear the podcast to the show ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, B-L-O-G, talkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. For information from previous shows, to listen to previous shows, and for updates about upcoming programs, as well as to read my Huffington Post blog, my Thrive Global blog, and to watch my YouTube videos, and any other new thing that is going on with this program and everything related to find out more about my book, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, or go to blogtalkradio.com for the podcast. And that's B-L-O-G, talkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for all the latest information, up to the minute, follow me on Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, on my address on Facebook. So follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City, practicing here in Austin and in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers, and for the past few years have been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And part of the time, my office is in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Cedar Park, in Cedar Park, called Heroes Night Out. And it's a really great resource for veterans and for their families. And if you want to find out more information, you can go to their website at heroesnightout.org. Want to contact me? Do you have a question or something that you want to tell me? Send me an email to Dr. Mara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com, or go through my website or give me a call at 512-626-6973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909, or you can email him at rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. This evening's program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. Okay, so we're going to take a brief break, play a couple of our sponsors' commercials, and don't go anywhere because it's a short break. And when we come back, Dr. Michael DeMaria, it will be here with us, joining us from Florida to talk about peace within. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com. Thank you.
And we are back. And if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And we were just listening to the music of our next guest, who is now joining us on the phone from Pensacola, Florida, integrative psychologist, author, poet, speaker, and four-time Grammy-nominated recording artist, Dr. Michael DeMaria. And Dr. DeMaria is back with us to talk about his new Peace Within process for integrative wellness and his new book, Peace Within. Welcome back, Dr. DeMaria. Are you there?
Yes, Dr. Mara. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me back.
Yes.
It's always wonderful to be here with you.
Yes, it's so great to have you back. And just to let you know, I don't think this was a problem the last time we spoke, but now since we're going through the computer, there's a slight delay when we speak. So.
No worries. Can you hear me okay otherwise?
I hear you fine. Yes.
Great.
So I've been following you on all of your ventures on Facebook for the last couple of years. You're really busy.
Bless you, Dr. Mara. You are too. But yes, I think we both live a full life in the good sense of the word. But it has been a particularly busy, full, and rewarding last few years. So yes, it's true.
So maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what your background is and a couple of things that you're doing.
By all means, Mara, I'd be happy to. I also just noticed that you went to Syracuse University. My wife's from Syracuse, so I hadn't noticed that before, but I just wanted to put that in there. That was a nice synchronicity. So
yeah.
I am a clinical psychologist by profession. I got my PhD and my master's at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, actually. And after that, I've been practicing meditation since I was 18. So gosh, that dates me like over 33 years. And also a yoga teacher and mindfulness teacher. So from the beginning, Mara, I've had a very integrative wellness approach. I really always knew from a very young age. I was actually a personal trainer for a while going through high school and college. And I always knew that when people address the mind, the body, the heart, and the soul, this was really critical. And in particular, over the years, my particular addition to a lot of integrative wellness, you hear about mind-body. You hear about mind-body and spirit. But my particular approach involves a very heart-centered, soul-oriented approach to health and wellness. And I see soul as different than just spirit. And those are the things that I think lend a little different approach to my particular approach to meditation, mindfulness, and integrative wellness.
Mm-hmm. How is soul different from spirit?
I like to say soul is the regional representative of spirit, that soul is really where matter and spirit come together. We think of spirit, oftentimes we kind of think of ascent. We kind of think of, you know, it's everywhere and in everything. And that's true. But soul, and this is a lot of my work as a Jungian-oriented psychologist, and also I've studied, as you know, with many indigenous cultures from around the world, this
mm-hmm.
understanding that, you know, healing has as much to do with water, like going down, where air goes up. You could think of spirit be more like air and soul being like water, like our emotions. So soul is really about honoring descent into feeling quality, not just ascent and getting away from it. I think spirit sometimes is, you know, in the New Age stuff, it sometimes gets a bad rap because we miss the soul. We miss honoring sometimes the messiness of life, the messiness of feelings. And water, you know, I love I saw the Tai Chi folks on your page, and you
mm-hmm.
know, I've worked with Tai Chi and Qi Kung, and it's all about moving like water. And why is the ocean a master of 1,000 rivers? Because it lies below them. So soul is about going down into our truth, into our body, into our sensations, and into our feelings, and not trying to rise above them.
Okay, that's a good. I like the way that you spelled that out, because I hadn't really thought about that. And I think in the past few years, as I have gotten into my 50s, I've gotten to the point where I want to be more grounded and in myself than try to be up in the clouds.
Yes. You know, same. Yeah, absolutely. Another way of thinking of it, Mara, is spirit is our higher self. Soul is our deep self, or our deeper self. You know, that kind of rootedness of like the roots of the tree as opposed to the branches. We need both of them, of course. But in our culture in particular, we avoid the depths. We tend to avoid the deep feeling, that tend to avoid the body in our culture.
So I talk about your book because, and the Peace Within process, because I know I mentioned to you in an email that I had ordered a copy of your book and it arrived just when things in my life went into chaos. And,
bless
you know,
bless you.
Yeah. You know, change, whether even if it's good, as you know, is stressful. So
yes.
I was so appreciative of having this book at that moment. It seemed just to come right at that perfect time. So maybe you can talk a little bit about what is this peace within us. I mean, I just the title when I saw it was like, yes, that's what I need. Peace within.
Bless you. Bless you. That means so much more. And I'm so glad the book found you at the right time. I hear that for many people. So the whole message of this book is, so often we think of inner peace, and we think of inner peace is like separate from the world. I need to go to the ashram. I need to go to the meditation center. I need to go to church. I need to go on the wilderness journey. I need to get away from it all. And although that's always wonderful, if we can do that, afford that time-wise or financially, the truth of the matter is that we live primarily in the world, in the chaos, in the struggles of the day-to-day. And, you know, in particular our culture, it's like we work ourselves to death for that 2 weeks of vacation or 3 weeks of vacation, whatever it is, or that weekend off. Peace within refers to finding peace within life, peace within your day, peace within the struggle and chaos. I like to think of it as that eye of the storm. So, you know, I actually, towards the end of the book, I have what I call the heart warrior motto or meditation. And this comes from actually the samurai warrior, because it's one thing for the monk to be peaceful up in the monastery, but the samurai, actually, there was a higher level of mind training they had, because they had to stay centered while they're walking down the middle of a busy town where people all around them are trying to kill them, and still stay centered in the moment and present. And that motto is, it's in the book, expect nothing, be ready for anything, be grateful for everything. I'll say that again, expect nothing, be ready for anything, be grateful for everything. I have that posted up over my computer, in the car, at home, I have it in my wallet. And the idea there is that I really want to help people find peace within each moment, that it's accessible within each moment of their life if they just know how to access what I call the ocean of peace.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when you were talking at the beginning, you were talking about, you know, when you go off into the ashram or a meditation center, I was thinking about how people go to those kind of retreats and they feel very peaceful, and then they come back to their life. It's almost startling because they don't have that way. This is really important to have a way of keeping that peace while they're in their life.
That's exactly right. It's not only finding it in life, but even when we do find it outside or in those kinds of retreats, how often do we come back and within a few hours of Monday morning or by Tuesday, we've lost that peace we gained. So shifting literally what I call from a state of consciousness, where people often can find through meditation or certain practices or yoga, accessing a state of peace. But what we're trying to do in the book is a very step-by-step process. I'm really wanting to help people shift and change the literal structure of their consciousness. So when we begin to change our actual mindset and our actual way we are experiencing and looking at the world, ourselves and others, we then have an opportunity to experience peace no matter where we are. That doesn't mean we're not also at times experiencing stress, but that, and it sounds paradoxical, to be able to experience stress and peace, a background of peace at the same time. And that means that we have to begin to really shift the way we understand ourselves, each other, and the world. So I take people through this process in the book, where it's not just meditating here and there, but developing what I call a meditative stance towards every moment of your life.
Interesting. I like that. And I think we all need it right now.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Isn't that the truth? I mean, the world's just getting crazier, yes? Just amazing.
Yeah. And I think in terms of dealing with the world, I think it's important that we stay aware and awake and know that there are things that we don't like, but also be able to remain peaceful at the same time. So that kind of, that makes sense, you know, right
yes,
now,
well
especially.
Put. Mm-hmm. Well put, Mara. Yeah.
So you know, when I was reading the beginning of your book, you talk about your story, which was really inspiring, about how you were led to come up with this program for yourself and then share it with the rest of us. Do you mind talking just a little bit about your experience?
Not at all, Mara. It's really been important to me to be transparent. And basically, as you know, I start the book, which is the inspiration for the book and online program, in my watershed year of 2004, when I had a series of personal tragedies that started with the worst nightmare, as you know, for a psychologist or a therapist is the suicide of a client. And then I had an injury that required surgery that triggered some PTSD I had a number of childhood surgeries. On top of that, while I was rehabbing my knee and recovering from surgery, we had a 15-foot wall of water called Hurricane Ivan basically obliterate 80% of our neighborhood, requiring us to live in the back of my office for 7 years. So this was a period of time where here I had been a successful author, psychologist, musician, but I became suicidal. I'm very open about talking about that. We have 1 million people on the planet a year that commit suicide worldwide, 20 million who attempt.
Wow.
In the United States, we've had an increase by 24% since 1999 in suicides across all ages from 10 to 74. So I felt really, really important that this was something important to share and talk about, that even me and many people to this day who even knew me during 2004 said, I had no idea that you were struggling so much. But I was struggling so much, I literally at times would carry a picture of my daughter with me just to keep me from committing my suicide, because I was that in that dark night of the soul. And there was that part of me that was aware, like I had these tools, but I couldn't, there was something else that was not okay. And I realized that at the deepest depth, there were these beliefs about myself, others, and reality that was causing this kind of deep pain. What I needed was not a suicide, but an egocide. I had to really let go of all my beliefs and expectations about myself, others, and reality. And I realized I needed to go deeper with people and deeper in the process. And I really wanted to share that journey, because as painful as it was, I share the haiku, which is one of my favorite, barn burned down, now I can see the moon. Because isn't that beautiful? Really, as much as I was kind of devastated and dissolved, I would have never pursued my music. I would have never pursued writing these plays. Everything I said I was going to do one day, maybe when I retired in my 70s, I said, you know what? I'm going to start living as if this is my last day. This is my last year on the planet. Mm-hmm. And boy, did it shift things for me. And of course, you know, it led to 4 Grammy nominations, being on a Grammy-winning children's album, All About Bullies. I've written 4 plays that have been produced, all that won awards. But all of that came from a dark place, a very, very dark night of the soul. So I want to tell listeners out there, if you're struggling with any darkness, be aware that this is also the time of transformation. I tell people, when you're depressed or feeling suicidal despair, you are in a holy place. The word sacred comes from sacrificiere, which means to bleed. That if you allow it and explore it and look at it, actually you can be transformed by it. And that's really when we have to shift our complete mindset and move from ego to soul, from the head to the heart.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I you know, really appreciate the way that you can take something that's the most negative thing in the world, right? Wanting to end our life and turn it into a beginning.
Thank you, Mar. That means so much to me.
Yeah. So, and then you created this program, right, from your own healing?
Yes. So the book is basically the textbook for this program that I release now twice a year. We just released it. It'll be released again in September. It's a 5-month online program that takes people, the serious seeker, if they like what's in the book and they want to go to a deeper level, they can go through this process with the small community of like-minded souls that help hold them accountable to do the work. And also you get a lot of personal connection time with me. I do group calls. We have a private Facebook group. So it's a really exciting process, and people really receive a lot out of it. So people can sign up for the next release for the waiting list at alldaypeace.com, just going to alldaypeace.com. But there's a lot of free stuff I have online too. Yeah, alldaypeace.com.
Okay. And I'm going to post that on my web post about this show.
Thank you, Mara.
Yeah.
And people can also, there's lots of free stuff. I know you've mentioned before, but, you know, I have a free 7x7 meditation challenge. If people are struggling or having difficulty sleeping, it's 7 minutes a day for 7 days. You can just go to my YouTube channel, and it really is, people from all around the world have had almost 100,000 views from like 190 countries. And I have these little 2-minute mindful moments with Michael. All that's free. And all my music's on Pandora, Spotify, iTunes. People can make a Michael Brandt DeMaria Pandora station. And all of this music is very healing meditation music, Mara. I love that you have musicians. I actually was real excited. I saw 2 other musicians on the show tonight.
Yeah.
And I was listening to some of their music, and I was like, oh, I love musicians. So it's always really fun.
Yeah, this is a particularly musical show. So
that's wonderful.
So actually, speaking of that, because you're a musician in addition to being a psychologist, can you just, you know, talk for a few minutes about how music and emotional wellness kind of meet, like, you know, the benefit emotionally of music?
By all means, there's a lot of interesting research. I love to share the story, and I talk about it in the book, where from one of my surgeries as a child, from abdominal surgery, I was suffering from PTSD and a near-death-like experience where afterwards I go to the piano and just hit one note at a time and just close my eyes and allow that note to dissipate off into silence. And I do that over and over again. And, you know, my parents just thought I was autistic, but it was a form of self-soothing. I realized a sound was a way of, I was already meditating without really realizing it. And the beautiful thing is music flows, and it's also unseen. And I feel music is the perfect metaphor for life. One of my poems talks about, a line in the poem is, each moment is a note in the song of today. Each moment is a note in the song of today. And we live our life or view our life like a song, we don't get in a rush because the goal of the song is not to get to the end, but enjoy each moment fully. And, you know, I think this is one of the big healing aspects. Also, we know the music shifts us into the right brain, the spatial temporal brain, which really induces a sense of unification, a sense of synthesis, a sense of connectedness. So music and emotions and water all have this quality of interconnectedness, of slowing the heart rate down, slowing the blood pressure down, connecting us with the heart, which is the organ of what matters to us and what something means to us. It allows what touches us, what speaks to us. So I could go on and on and on, but you know, for me, the bottom line is music is the perfect metaphor for life.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And that's why we have musicians on almost every one of our programs.
I love that.
So, you know, we just have a couple of minutes left, but I feel like we could talk for a long time. But I was wondering if you might have some quick for listeners and like one step that they could take or a couple of steps, simple steps that they could take to find that inner peace or slow down, as you mentioned.
Absolutely, Mara. One of my favorites is what I call my three breaths to de-stress, which came from one of my warm-ups for my flutes. And basically, it's taking a nice deep belly breath, closing your eyes, and accentuating the out-breath. So you're continuing to blow out until you have no more air. And when you think you have no more air, blow out a little bit further. And you do this three times with your eyes closed. A few things this does is, number one, closing your eyes reduces brain activity by two-thirds. It takes so much brain activity to process visual information that simply the act of closing your eyes is a relaxation process. Also, respiration rate. When we drop down to do these three long breaths, we're really reducing respiration rate and kicking in the parasympathetic nervous system, which is, as you know, is the rest and digest part of our nervous system. So immediately with these three deep breaths, long extended out breaths, we're being able to bring ourselves into the here and now, into the moment. Most people are respirating like 15 breaths a minute or more. And we know when people get to 12 or below, and when we drop it down with this three breaths, we actually can get people to 6, 7, 8 breaths a minute. Their overall health and wellness just increases dramatically. And even if you can, you know, that takes 20 seconds to do this little practice. And
yeah.
I really love it. It's what I call a micro meditation, Mara. Three breaths to de-stress. Eyes closed, deep, long, extended out breath. When you feel like you can't breathe out anymore, breathe out just a bit more. And I promise your listeners will be in a totally different place after those three breaths.
Great. I'm going to try that when the program is over.
Wonderful.
I can relax.
Excellent.
So you mentioned the alldaypeace.com for that inner peace program that you have. Do you have other services that you provide, consultations, classes, things of that sort? They're long distance or there in Florida?
I do teach here locally in Pensacola, Florida, a community meditation class, a community yoga class. I also, at my office, ONTOS is the name of the office, which ONTOS is the Greek for being. It also is an acronym for ongoing numinous tracking of soul. I have a number of meditation classes I teach there, more intensive for like 6 sessions at a time. Again, people can also go either to alldaypeace.com or thepeaceanswer.com to either get on the waiting list or find out more, or michaeldemaria.com, michaeldemaria.com, to take a look at my events page, and I always have things going on there. And again, my YouTube channel, youtube.com/M for Michael, B as in boy, DeMaria, DeMaria. And there's a bunch of free videos there on lots of topics and different interviews.
All right, great. So I'm going to put all of that on the web post about this program. So if anyone missed it,
thank you.
Yeah. So thank you again so much for being on the program this evening.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Mara. It's always great to connect. I love what you're doing and what you're about, and it's always an honor. And thank you so much for having me. And my daughter wants to go visit Austin, so maybe I'll have her look you up when she gets there. She's a singer-songwriter herself. Yeah, she's
cool.
Folk and blues singer, and she's a sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, definitely have her look me up. Well, you know, you can connect with me, and I'll give her my information. That's easier.
You. So appreciate it. Thank you so much for having
me. All right. Let's stay in touch. I'd love to have you back.
Anytime, Mara. God bless you and have a great rest of your show. And
same too. Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
All right. So we're going to take a brief break. And when we come back, we have lots more. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240. Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
All right, so we are back, and if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaracarpel.com. And I feel very peaceful now just talking to Dr. DeMaria just creates peace within. So I hope you're all feeling peaceful and focused for the rest of the program. And before I go on to talk about what I'll talk about this evening, which I chose the benefits of kindness and generosity, because to me that seemed to fit with this discussion with Dr. DeMaria, because it's all about peace within, and when you come from a place of peace, you tend to be more willing to be generous and kind. And so I want to talk about what the benefits of that are. So before I get to that, though, let me talk about news. Art just uploaded to YouTube one of the several videos of the interviews with my guests who are live in our Austin studio. If you've been listening to this program for a while, then you know that whenever a guest, the main guest is in Austin and can meet me at our studio, that while they're on the air with this program, we're also videotaping. And we've been uploading them, but now we're moving them over to YouTube. So the first of those videos has been uploaded to YouTube, and he will be doing that about once a week. There'll be a new one on YouTube until we catch up with all of the interviews we've taped since the beginning of January of 2016. And we'll continue to do that through every time a guest comes into the studio. It's kind of nice to see people along with hearing them. So that's a nice addition. And you can go to YouTube to find those and put in a search for my name, Dr. Mara Carpel. And I think if you put in your golden years, it might come up too. But definitely if you put in my name, or you can go to my website, and each one of those videos I upload to my website and just click on videos. So this week's video is up there already. And also, as you may know, I'm a regular contributor to Arianna Huffington's new online magazine, ThriveGlobal.com. And six of my blogs have been published recently, and you can read those blogs by going to thriveglobal.com and, again, putting a search for my name, or go to my website, drmaricarpel.com, and click on blogs or click on publications. And two of the blogs were published at the beginning of the month in honor of Women's History Month. And that's a two-part blog about women and power and finding our voice no matter our age. And stay tuned because there will be another blog coming out in April. And you can find out up to the minute when it is published by following me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years. And there will also be a link so that there's it's just a one-stop shop. And if you go to my website and click on blogs and publications, you will also see my blogs for Huffington Post that I have published for about a year and a half. And or if you go to Huffington Post and do the same thing, put in my name. And my book is now getting ready for the next step toward publication, and I have posted a list of 5 potential titles for you, my listeners, and anyone following me on social media to vote for the best title. We've already tweaked the list based on votes and suggestions that people made, listeners and social media followers. So it's a slightly different list now, 5 titles for you to choose from. And if you follow me on Facebook and on Instagram or Twitter, you'll find those 5 potential titles. And I will keep you updated on social media. It's also on LinkedIn. And I'll keep you updated with different steps along the way with the book as I release more information. And please vote, because I really do take your vote into account and even your comments. And this is a really important decision in being in the process of publishing my first book, and I appreciate your help in this process. Also, stay tuned for more news, because there are some pieces of news coming your way that I can't mention right now, but as soon as something comes of it, I will mention it right here, so stay tuned. Okay, so now, benefits of kindness and generosity. I recently found a book by Piero Ferrucci about kindness and generosity, and a couple of quotes because I thought they were great. So here is what Ferrucci says. Generosity is exactly this, to give that which is dearest to us. It is an act that transforms us. So when we give people what is most dear to us in our generosity, we become transformed. And I've spoken about this topic on the show before, and I've written about it both here and in Thrive Global and in Huffington Post. But I think it's worth repeating. We can always use a reminder every now and again, because I think that my listeners might agree that in many ways we have become a more selfish, self-centered, and even meaner society. And, you know, there are many who rarely go out of their ways to help another one without wondering. Maybe we're all a little guilty of that sometimes, that when we help other people, we're thinking, what will I get out of this interaction or this behavior or this gift? And companies that we believed were there to help us have recently been placing more emphasis on their bottom line than on serving the customers. Even social media, where it's easy, I guess, to do this, it's become cold and threatening. People have an easier time saying mean things on social media. And I think that we're really at a point of where we really need to change as a society. It's a point of transformation. We can think of that as similar to what Dr. De Maria was talking about. When a person gets to that point where they're at their lowest, where there's such pain that they want to take their own life, it can be the birth of something beautiful in their life and a transformation. And I think that that's the way we can think of our society as well, that we're reaching that point where, okay, this society isn't going to last much longer if we're mean to each other. And I see it happening right now. I'm very optimistic about it. People are coming together and realizing they don't want this. They want more kindness and more generosity. There are many people who are awakened, and they're making a conscious effort to save society by being kinder and more generous than letting us go down that dark abyss of meanness. And young people are now kind of asking the question, what can I do to make a difference in the world? How can I be of service, rather than necessarily just choosing a career for the financial gain? That many young people now are thinking, well, yeah, making money is important, but I also want to help the society. I want to help people in the job that I do. And even, Laura Galazunas is in Puerto Vallarta and every other week, and she talks about the retirees down there who are really, really involved in all these different charity organizations. They don't have to work anymore, but they're busy working to try to help society in some way, whether it's helping children or helping the elderly people down there or working with animals and animal rescue. But they're busy and they're very active. I think it's really important for our society for this kindness and generosity to become more important to individuals to display, because when we are kinder to people around us, it spreads, and it spreads. It's contagious, just like when we're mean to people around us, it's contagious. So when we're generous and we're kind, we are contributing to living in a kinder world and a kinder society. It leads to increased kindness of those people that we are kind to. And I believe, and I haven't seen statistics on this, I haven't seen the research on this, but I really believe this as a psychologist and my observation of the world, that when we have this blossoming of kindness, where we are kind to people around us and they are kind to the people around us, and it just grows and grows, that it increases the creativity and progress that we make as a society, and it increases our development of positive things that build us, to build our society, things that help the people and help this to become a stronger nation and a stronger world. We're all living on the same planet Earth, and we all share this home that we have. And kindness, I believe, increases development and a greater well-being throughout society, if you think of society as a living, breathing organism. And as individuals, when we give kindness or give of ourselves in a generous way through service or through money or through advice or giving of our time, just giving of our kindness and compassion to ourselves emotionally. And the research shows that this benefit only really exists when we have no expectations. And I like what Dr. De Maria read about the samurai prayer. No expectations. When we have no expectations from those whom we give to, whether it's through their paying us back or showing us appreciation, or the expectation even that our gift be used in the way that we think it should be used. Those are expectations. When we have no expectations like that, Now, those are things that we all do, and we don't even think, we don't think anything other. We think that that's just, that's the way it's supposed to be. You give something to someone, they're supposed to use it the way that you want them to. They're supposed to be appreciative, and they're supposed to pay you back or pay somebody else. Even paying it forward is an expectation that we have, but we don't benefit when we give people kindness or generosity if we have any expectation. So the research shows that when we don't have any expectations, we have more benefit to ourselves and our own emotional well-being. And it makes us kinder and more generous. And so we know that we are helping the society, and we're helping it to become a kinder world. And synchronistically, after I decided to talk about this topic this afternoon, and I was writing some notes about what I was going to say, I got on Facebook, and a meme popped up on my Facebook from the author Byron Katie, and the meme said, "True generosity happens without any awareness of being generous." So, but I think sometimes, you know, I have to say that that's more down the road. I think that that's the goal, generate kindness and generosity, to make that a plan, to make it an intention every day to be generous and kind. And after a while, it becomes a habit. So you don't even have to think about it, and it just feels good. You just do it because it feels good, and you don't even think of it as generosity and kindness anymore. And I think that's what she means, that when you have that generosity and kindness, you don't think of it as generosity. You're just doing it because it feels right. you know, and as I said, you know, having this benevolence is not all about self-sacrifice. There are many benefits to us, the giver, both emotionally, as I said, the emotional well-being part, and that feeling of purpose. To quote Ferrucci again, he said, "Whatever the gift, one precondition is essential: to offer in the moment of giving all of ourselves. Generosity that is unwilling or cold or distracted is a contradiction. When you are generous, you do not spare yourself." So, again, I think that when people have that that coldness about it, it's because they are expecting something back. And I really believe that we don't even have to think about that. If we don't have any expectation of anything in return, then we don't have to worry about being cold. It just flows. It's like water, as Dr. De Maria said. It just flows like water. So, and I'll give you a couple of scientific research findings just to back up what I'm saying. This isn't all just fluff that people have made up. This is really based on scientific research. Several recent studies have found that being generous increases our ability to cope with physical pain and symptoms of chronic diseases. I bet you didn't know that. In fact, volunteering, both those retirees in Puerto Vallarta are doing to help children and elderly and animals and everybody else who is in need, volunteering has been associated with a significant decrease in blood pressure, with a significant decrease in stomach acid, lowered cholesterol levels, and increased immunoglobulin A, which is the substance in our body that boosts our immune system. That is our immune fighting agent, immunoglobulin A. And when we're generous, we have more of that. So we actually fight off disease by being generous. That's pretty good. That's a big payback. You don't have to expect anything back from the person you give to if your own body is paying you back. And In fact, volunteering has been correlated with a lower risk of mortality in older adults, decreased symptoms of stress, and better sleep. So when you're generous, now sleep tends to be a sleep disorder or sleep dysfunction or lack of sleep, not enough sleep, tends to be an epidemic in this country. So there are many of you out there listening that I'm sure suffer from this. And being generous actually is better than taking a pill to fall asleep. And according to the research, this is due to a phenomenon called the helper's high, which is a release of endorphins, which are those natural mood-elevating and pain-relieving chemicals produced by the brain, which I love to talk about. Those wonderful endorphins that are released by laughing, released by deep relaxation, released by exercise. Now, here's another way to release those pain-relieving, mood-elevating, immune-strengthening chemicals, the endorphins. And that is by volunteering, because people have this feeling of being very happy and euphoric. They call it the helper's high when they're involved in helping people other than themselves. And there's another phenomenon that was found from related to this, and that's called the Mother Teresa effect. And that was found when participants of a study had an increase of that immunoglobulin A, that immune boosting substance in our bodies, when they viewed videos of Mother Teresa helping people. So the conclusion of the study, of course, was not that it has to be Mother Teresa that you are viewing helping people that in order to have the benefit, but the study concluded that our generosity not only benefits those people who we are helping and ourselves, right? We've talked about that we get benefit, and of course the person we're helping gets benefit, but it also benefits those people around who watch, who see the generosity happening. They feel good, and then they become more generous. I'm sure you've experience that when you watch a video on Facebook or on social media, or you watch a YouTube video, or you see something on the news, it makes you feel good when you see somebody helping somebody else, and then you feel inspired to help other people. So I'm going to stop there, but I just want to mention a couple of ways of giving. So giving doesn't have to be money. It can be money. If you have the money and you want to give it to somebody who needs it or to an organization that you feel that will help people, that's one way of being generous. But also sometimes giving someone a book that you read that you like. Or it could be something as big as donating an organ of your body or your bone marrow, or donating blood, which is a little easier. Or you can give your time where you help people, either an individual or volunteering, or you can give practical help to somebody who needs your help, or give advice, giving compassion, having a shoulder to lean on, and a listening ear. Those are all acts of generosity. So on that note, I'm going to end here, and we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Johnny Arco, who is here from New York, if he's able to call in. I know that he's real busy right now, so we're a little up in the air about that, but if not, we're going to play some of his music. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
All our shit is gone. All our shit is over. It left as quickly as it came. Had the biggest dreams. Wanted finer things. But life just always seems to stay the same. Now all our shit is gone. And all our shit is over. So why are we all standing around? It's best I just move on. It's best you just move over. It's hard when you believe things will change. But I'm crazy for you. I'm crazy for you. It's worth all that you put me through. I'm crazy for you.
right. And that was our friend Johnny Arco, violinist and singer, songwriter, musician. And he's here in Austin. He came here for South by Southwest from New York City. And but he hasn't called in, so I think it's, you know, he's got really busy with what he was doing. I know he came here to play as much as he could. And so just to mention, Johnny Arco is very, very talented musician. And he, if you ever get a chance to see him when he's in Austin, I don't know where he's playing right now, but I'm sure it's listed. Or if you go to his website. His website is johnnyarco.com. Let me take a look and make sure that I'm giving you the right website. And he plays around New York, and he's recently, I know, was traveling to L.A. He's been on the show several times, and for a period of time he was playing in the subways in New York as a street musician, and now he's doing a lot of other things. So, yes, it is Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y, Arco, A-R-C-O.com. And he's also very, very involved in music education. And he is trying to make sure that art and music stays in our educational system. So, I know. And now this. All right, and we were just listening to our next guest, jazz flutist Jan Leader, who is now joining us from New York. Welcome back, Jan. Are you there?
I am. Hi, Dr. Carpel. How are you today? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Now I can, yes.
Okay, sometimes the computer plays games here. So, how are things going back back in New York?
Oh, okay, it's trying to become spring, you know, this time of year. It's cold one day and warm the next, but it unfolds beautifully. I'm fortunate to have a terrace overlooking the river here in Dobbs Ferry, and I feed the birds on my terrace.
Uh-huh.
So I enjoy nature very much and the changing of the seasons. I don't like the cold.
Yeah, I know. But that part of the area is beautiful. I know, spectacular over the Hudson River.
It really is very special.
So what are you doing these days musically? I know I got to see you perform recently at my mom's place.
That's right. How is she now?
She's good. She's good. She always enjoys, she knows when you're coming to play. She always enjoys going to hear you play.
That is so sweet. I saw what you wrote on, I think it was on Facebook. It was very sweet. Thank you again for that. Well, I'm continuing my work in music wellness. I'm not as busy as I used to be, which I guess is a good thing because I'm not as young as I used to be.
Uh-huh.
I have the energy, although we just spoke 6 months ago, but it's amazing what can happen in that amount of time. Maybe it was 8 months, but things have changed in certain ways, but not in how much I'm enjoying playing for people, playing music. I had a gig today with my pianist Hiroshi Yamazaki and made a lot of people smile and got up and danced and we did sing-alongs, so we have a good time. It's just
uh-huh.
always fun.
Uh-huh.
I feel so lucky to be a working artist, you know. It took a long time, but it's very, very worth all the time it took. It's very rewarding.
Yeah, and I'm sure many musicians are envious of that because it's not easy to be a working artist.
No, but I will remind you and your listeners, if they know anyone interested, I do give a consultation called Making a Living in Music Wellness. And I don't really publicize it, but every once in a while, I guess I'll throw an ad on Craigslist or something, or people will find me. And I worked it into a consultation. I think it's 90 minutes, and I share all my secrets. I mean, it's something that took a long time for me to, you know, get that information together. It took years of experience. So I said, why don't I just share
mm-hmm.
it and save everybody else the trouble?
Right. Well, that's
great.
Those
lessons by themselves. That's right.
Yeah, that's a great lesson for people to learn. The first guest on this program is a psychologist and a musician, and I had him talk for a few minutes about the benefit of music for our emotional well-being. And you actually, you know, you're out in the trenches. You're helping older people through music. To, you know, in their music and wellness program.
Yes. It's powerful stuff. I feel almost like a minister of sorts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's that deep because, I mean, when people come, you know, when people hear their song, it's just so powerful. I'm just a messenger, you know. You understand that. It's the music, the songs is what it really helps in the wellness. I'm presenting it. I'm the artist, you know, presenting it. And I'm a songwriter, too.
Uh-huh.
But the songs, when the idea of the personally significant music, which I was explaining to you last time, that doesn't change. Whatever we were listening to at that age in our life stays with us differently. The only difference for me now is that instead of music of the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, it's more like music of, I'm sorry, more rather than music of the 20s, 30s, and 40s, it's more like music
mm-hmm.
of the 30s, 40s, and 50s, because the 50s music is becoming a little more prominent in my shows these days, put it that way.
Right, as the people from the 50s are getting older, I suppose, right?
exactly. So for the seniors now, instead of just swing music, we're throwing in some doo-wop, you know, that kind of, not that I'm a singer, but those songs from the 50s. And I have some
mm-hmm.
of them. There's an Elvis Presley song I've been playing, and I'm not a big fan. I'm not really a fan of Elvis Presley. But this song, I don't know why, I don't know what it is about it. If I play 3 or 4 different day rooms in an hour, I could play it 3 or 4 times. That's how much I'm enjoying it. It's called I Can't Help Falling in Love with You.
That's a nice song. That's a very romantic song.
Yes, it's a beautiful melody. There's what I call a 12-8 feel. It's a 12-8 rhythm. And that's kind of a very 50s sound. And I'm just having so much fun with it. It's nice to add, you know, new things to the repertoire. And so
Sure. And you write your own music, and we just played... That was one of your songs, right? El Carioca?
No. That is not mine.
Oh, okay.
I believe that's Antonio Carlos Jobim.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yes.
All right.
Now, I have... Go ahead.
Go on.
No, I was going to say I have written a lot of music. I've only published a very small percentage of the music I've written. I've a handful of tunes that I've published, many dozens of unpublished songs.
Okay.
And maybe someday I'll get to those.
Uh-huh.
I'm so busy doing other things.
Right. So another song that you sent us was Fresh Watermelon. Can you tell us about that?
Well, that's probably the most recent song I've written, and it was already a couple years back. I don't write as a regular thing. I write when I have to write. It spills out of me. And most of the music I've written has been just when I felt it so strongly. And I have collaborated with other artists, often either writing lyrics to their songs or writing songs for their lyrics. I've done both.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
In this case, it was completely different than either of those. This was a very unusual collaboration where a neighbor of mine has across the street. I live on Main Street in Dobbs Ferry, and across the street is some shops, and one of the shop owners is a friend. We were hanging out, and we ended up writing this song together.
Okay.
And then we just laid it out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very unusual way of creating a song, but I liked what we ended up with.
Okay. Well, hang on the phone because we're going to play it right now, and then we'll come back, okay?
Sure thing.
All right, Fresh Watermelon. Right, that was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. That was John Davis on the piano there. Oh, my goodness. He's on my, one of my records.
So, how can people listen to your music? Do you have CDs? Can they download me your music? I lost you there. I lost you. We couldn't hear you. So,
sorry about that.
Start again.
Sorry about that. I have a website at the Jazz Corner. So it's jamleader.info, I-N-F-O, with the W's up front. And there's soundtracks, there's all sorts of stuff there. And then there's a YouTube channel where I have some videos, and it's interesting. I was looking at it in preparation for the show because I wanted to see what was on there, and that's why I sent you Fresh Watermelon, because it's really sort of different from everything else on my YouTube channel, which contains, you know, music with that straight-ahead music, and then music with my mentor, a concert with my mentor, Connie Crothers, which I think we had talked about last time. And so, yeah, it's out there. It's not hard
okay.
to find.
So, Jan, tell me your website again. It's janleader.
.info, I-N-F-O.
.info, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, and you did send one more song, so you know what? We're going to play it right now. It's Ornithology. Can you tell me about that before I play it?
Sure. That's a bebop line, and I believe it's a Charlie Parker line, and it's on How High the Moon is the original song that the harmonic changes to the tune. Now, you know that in bebop, there were a lot of standard tunes that were recorded with new lines written over them. And in that tradition, that's what this is. And I love bebop, and I love Charlie Parker.
Okay. So we're going to play a little of that, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, so stay on the line. I have another question before you go. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Very nice. So,
do you like bebop?
I love all kinds of jazz. And I love jazz flute. So, yes, when I was a kid, I used to go to jazz vespers with my parents. Do you know jazz vespers?
Yeah.
Have you heard of? Yeah.
At St. Peter's Church?
Yep.
At St. Peter's, I've played there many times, and I very much appreciate what that's about. That whole scene over there is beautiful.
It is.
I think the International Women in Jazz were meeting there at one point.
Okay.
We had our meetings in that church. Yeah, and I performed there many times. What a beautiful scene, right?
So before they moved to that church, they borrowed a church, and we used to just go to hear the music. My dad was a big jazz buff, And and the sound, the acoustics were so beautiful. And I remember there was a jazz flutist that played, and I just was so touched by it that when I was in junior high school, my dad said, "What instrument do you want to play? What do you want lessons?" It wasn't, "Do you want music lessons?" It's, "What instrument will you play?" And I said, "I want to play the flute because that's what I wanted to play like."
Wow. Do you remember who it was?
I don't, because I was like, the names didn't mean anything to me because I was a kid, you know.
Was it a woman or a man?
It was a woman. It was
wow.
a woman.
And if you saw her again, would you recognize her? Is she a recording artist?
I probably wouldn't recognize her because it was so long ago.
Yeah,
but it was, yeah.
Okay. So, well, I didn't have a preference for an instrument when I was asked, and I really didn't. I had been playing the piano, and you know, they said, "What?" It was seventh grade. What instrument do you want to play in band? I said, "I don't know." So my mom says, "Play the flute. It's easy to carry," and it stuck.
That's a good reason.
I think so.
Yeah. So
of course I have
so
to lug around an amp everywhere I go. I'm lifting my heavy amplifier in and out of the trunk of my car.
Right. You do all your loading and unloading.
Right. If I played trumpet, that would be something else. I wouldn't need an amplifier.
Right. So Jen, this class that you teach, Making a Living on Music in Music Wellness, can people find that on your website or contact you through your website?
They can contact me any way they like. And yes, through my website. My email is my name, janleader@aol.com. And I've only given it as a class. In fact, it was at the International Women in Jazz that I was telling you about. I gave it to my sisters in jazz. But I also, and that's the class I gave, but it's really just a private consultation that I can do on the telephone or, or you know, whatever, face-to-face, whatever, in person.
Okay, that's great.
Well,
that's great. And I'll post your website so if people want to, janleader.info, so if people want to download your music.
That's right.
Or they,
now,
they can go ahead and do
the
that.
The thing about playing music wellness programs for those who are interested, it's a bit of work getting the work, but it's so much fun doing it. It's worth all the trouble getting the work in order to do it and make people smile and have people respond the way they do. It's quite a beautiful thing to be able to do with my time.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much again for being on the program. And I look forward to seeing you again at my mom's place performing.
That's right. Well, I'm usually on the calendar. I think it's somewhere I go regularly. So come and say hello if you happen to be there a day I'm there. And say hi to your mom for me.
I will.
Again. It's such an honor to be on your show. It really is. I really appreciate the time you spend with me and sharing my music with the world. What fun.
Yes. Well, thank you for coming on the program and come back again.
All right. Anytime.
Okay. Have a good night.
You too, dear. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So we've come to the end of another program, and before Art knocks us off the air, I want to let you know what's happening next Sunday, April the 2nd. We have another great program. We'll be joined once again from Vashon Island in the Puget Sound by worldwide speaker, blogger, minister, and author of several books, including The Power of Pause. Terry Hershey is joining us to talk about pausing to appreciate the moments of our lives. And Laura Galazunas will be back to report in from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And I believe we have a musician as well, but I don't have it written down here, so follow me on Facebook and you'll find out who's playing the music next week. It's always good music, so or just tune in. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this program and about upcoming shows or listen to previous programs or read my blog, go to my website, drmaricarpel.com, and also be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years. And you can hear this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to blogblogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. This program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and PsychUp Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere and by StoryHouse. And special thanks to my guests, Dr. Michael DeMaria, to Jan Leader. Thank you, Johnny Arco, for your music. And, of course, thank you to Art. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. And I want to also let you know that this evening's program is dedicated to a musician who was on this show 2 years ago and even came to the Austin studio to be interviewed for the program, Izzy Cox. Izzy Cox passed away yesterday after fighting a long battle with cancer. She was a very talented musician, and she had many fans, especially here in Austin, and she will be missed. And here's a little of Izzy.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.